The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
So this morning we're here and it's Christmas Eve. I kind of figured out that being a pastor is different. Because there's certain times of the year you have to talk about certain things. Like on Mother's Day, if I talked about, you know, I don't know, something different than Mother's Day, people would probably look at me a little funny. Christmas, if I talked about things other than Christmas, people are going to look at you a little funny. And so there are certain days you have to talk about Christmas. And so we kind of went through, we've talked a little bit about the birth of Jesus and everything like that. But I was reminded this week of a famous theologian. His name was Ricky Bobby. Do y'all remember him? Y'all know who I'm talking about. If you don't worry, you can go home and look it up. But it is interesting to me that Ricky Bobby, in his prayer, he prays, and he prays to the baby Jesus. And he prays to the baby Jesus, and he says, you can pray to whoever you want to. I'm going to pray to baby Jesus. And he talks about how Jesus is this sweet little 9-ounce baby boy. And that's who he offers his prayer to. And it's so funny because a lot of us, that's the Jesus we think of at Christmas, right? We think of the sweet baby that was laid in the manger, and we think about the fact that Jesus came and was born as a baby at Christmas time because that's when Jesus was born. A couple years ago, we started a thing called Walk Through Bethlehem, and it was the process of taking people from the birth of Jesus, but then at the very end, they go all the way through his death, burial, and resurrection. And it was so cool to me to watch this because I watched kids my daughter's age come out of this thing and they would say, I never knew that was the same Jesus. The Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas is the same Jesus we celebrate at Easter, the resurrection. And how many of us, if we're honest, have that same kind of mentality, right? We forget about the fact that the Jesus we celebrate now is the same Jesus we celebrate at Easter. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the fact that he was more than a child. When he was born, Jesus was way more than a child. If you have your notes or your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, this is when the prophecy about Jesus was made, and it said, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, she will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel. Now, that's also quoted over in Luke, but what that word Emmanuel means is God with us. He was more than a child, he was God with us. God became flesh. He put on flesh, he dwelt among his creation. But it also means that God will not forsake us. One of the interesting things as I was reading and thinking through this year, we talked about the 400 years of silence in the in-between time when the last prophet had spoken into the birth of Jesus. There was that 400 years where there was nothing going on. And I wonder how many people during that time felt like God had forsaken them. You ever feel like God's forsaken you? You just can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. It doesn't seem like anything's going to work out the way you want it to. And it's so easy to feel like at times that God has forsaken us. But this morning, I want you to understand that you're here and God is still Emmanuel. He's still with you. He has not forsaken you. He has not forgotten you. He is still with you. Another passage that we always quote at Christmas time, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The terms Isaiah uses here is to show that he's more than a child. He is the exact character of God. If you ever wonder, how many of you have wondered what God's like? Y'all ever play that game with kids? You're like, what's God's like? And they always tell you these funny stories about how he's a big man with a white beard. Kind of looks like Homer, probably. We try to think of all these things of what God's like. But do you realize that the character of God is summed up in the person of Jesus? And a lot of people struggle with that because when I ask you about God's character, what's the very first thing most people tell you about? The character of who?
Jesus.
Us, right? Most people that have a problem with God, that have a problem with Christianity, that have a problem with religion, it's not because of anything that God's done. It's because of what we've done. But God, if you want to know what God was like, it's the person of Jesus. Read about the life of Jesus. Read about what he did, how he lived. That's what God is like. The words Isaiah uses here, that he's the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, those are to show us that Jesus was the exact character and nature, the essence of who God is seen in the person of Jesus. In Matthew's gospel, you have the birth story of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, it tells you this: she will give birth to a son. You will give them the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. All this took place as the word of the Lord would be fulfilled, as he had said. See, Jesus was more than a child. He was a savior from their sins, from our sins. He's a savior from your sins. Jesus wasn't just born as a baby to sit in a manger. And in fact, honestly, if you look at it, as amazing and as miraculous and as wonderful as Jesus' birth was, his birth wouldn't have meant near as much had it not been for his death and resurrection. I can tell you interesting birth stories about each of my kids. They all have their own unique, interesting story. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Every birth has its own unique and interesting story. And it's not so much just the birth of Jesus that makes his story interesting. It's the fact that he didn't stay a baby, that he grew to a man, that he died on a cross. He died for your sins, for my sins. He came to save humanity from their sins. He's this morning, this Christmas, he's more than a child. He's the savior of our sins. But there's something else that Matthew tells us in that passage. Matthew tells you that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The idea is that he's more than a child. He is the fulfillment of God's promises. Anybody ever been lied to before? How does it feel? Great, right? Want to do that every single day? No, none of us like to be lied to. Anybody, look, can I know it's Christmas Eve. You're here to take pictures and look good and hang out with family, but let's just have fun for a moment. Anybody ever feel like God lied to him? God, you said that I could do this. God, I knew that this was right. I knew that this was the path that you wanted me to be on. I knew that this was it. And then all of a sudden, when things don't work out and the plan doesn't go as laid out, what do you feel like? God, you lied to me. God, you lied to me. This Christmas, I want to remind you that that passage right there tells us that he is more than a child. He was the fulfillment of every single one of God's promises. When you look at the birth story of Jesus and you look at everything that it entails, do you realize how many specific details had to line up for him to be exactly who he was? Where was Jesus from? Somebody. Bethlehem, Nazareth. Anybody else? He was a man from Galilee. You ever heard that? So just right now, Jesus is three different people. That's like being from North Louisiana, South Louisiana, and Alabama all at the same time, right? Can't happen. Unless Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but then because of a dream, he fled to Egypt. When he fled to Egypt, he came back and he lived in Galilee, but he was also from Nazareth because that's where his home was. That's where his family grew up at. See, everything about Jesus was so specific, but it was so specific so that you and I would understand that we can trust the promises of God, because Jesus is the exact fulfillment of God's promises to you and I. He was to show that God is a trustworthy, faithful God. Over in Luke's gospel, you have the account where the angels come and show themselves to the shepherd. Or, I'm sorry, before we get to that point, we get to the point where the angel comes and talks to Mary. She says, you will conceive, you'll give birth to a son, you'll call him Jesus. He will be great, he will be called Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Jesus is more than a child this morning. He is a divine king. See, Jesus is God in flesh, so he's a deity. He is God. But he also is an earthly king. He dwelt among his people. He understands. He can relate. He knows what it's like to work with you, to be like you. Y'all ever had a boss that has no clue how to do your job? I see a couple hands going up. Yeah. You work with this person, you're like, have you ever done what I'm doing? And it's hard for them to feel like they really understand you, right? Because they've never done what you're doing. You realize that Jesus, that's what makes him the perfect king. It's because he's God. He's still a deity, but he lived amongst us. He dwelt amongst us. He lived. He was given and lived the exact same lives that you and I would live. He felt hunger. He felt tired. He felt all those things. He felt those things because he wanted to sympathize with our needs, our weaknesses. He's the divine king. That means he is God, but he is also the supreme authority for you and I's life. In Luke's gospel later on, you have where the angels appear to the shepherds, and it says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." I love that Luke uses interesting words, and he changes the names and titles that he gives to Jesus. And then when you read through this, you might just see that he's the Messiah, and we all hear that. Jesus is the Messiah. We sing about how Jesus is the Messiah. But I started looking at that word more and more, Messiah. And one of the phrases that came across was that he is a champion for all people. You say, well, what's a champion? Anybody remember a guy named Carmen, a Christian singer? Y'all know who I'm talking about? He had a song called Jesus is a Champion. I went to see him one time in concert, and it was really weird because this guy dressed up as Jesus wrestled this guy like the devil, and it was a wrestling match, and it was like WWE style, Bubby. And like it was wild. And at the end of the song, it's like Jesus is the champion. And in my head, that's always what I thought that meant. I never grew up, I guess. But really, when you look at that word champion and you look at what it means, another way of saying it is it's a liberator. It's a liberator. Someone who isn't in slavery fights for those who are in slavery to free them from slavery. This morning, do you realize that he was more than a child? He was the one who fought to free you from your sins. But it also means this, it has this meaning of defender. He's the one who fights for you when you can't fight for yourself. This morning, I love you, church, but there is nothing you can do to earn God's grace. The only hope you have is in the champion of Jesus Christ, who came and lived the perfect life so that he could die on a cross for your sins, so that you could be forgiven, you could be freed from that. But then also, as you go through life, the hope for every single day he provides for you, because he fights for you when you can't fight for yourself. He's more than a child this morning. He's a champion. He's more than a child this morning. He's a redeemer for all people. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, it talks about when the set time had fully come, God sent his son to be born of a woman under the law to redeem those under the law, that they might receive adoption as sonship. The idea of redeemer is the one who bought you back, the one who bought you and made you family. Jesus bought you this morning with a precious price of his own blood. So when he was born in that manger, he was born to redeem you. He was born to buy you back. That was his entire purpose in coming. That was his entire purpose in being born. Going back a little bit to Luke's gospel. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, it says, "For no word from God will ever fail." Both Matthew and Luke try to capture this idea that he was more than a child. He was the evidence of God's love and faithfulness to you and I. Church, this morning, if we leave Jesus as the baby in the infant, or the infant in the manger, if we celebrate the birth, but we never celebrate the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus at Christmas, we miss the fact that he is God's evidence of God's love to you. We talked about if you've ever felt like you've been lied to by God. I wonder if anybody's ever felt like they can't be loved by God. God, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the path I've trod. You don't understand. You don't know. And he says, actually, I do. Because I'm God with you. I've never forsaken you. I've always been with you. And the evidence and the proof of the fact that I love you is in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the evidence, the proof that God is faithful. He's true. You can trust exactly what he says. But this morning, just like we know that he came once as a baby, if you trust everything that God says, you have to understand that he's coming back again. He's coming back as a king who understands his people. And he rules with supreme authority over his people. And you and I can have this amazing relationship with the God of heaven who created us, who redeemed us, who bought us back, who did all that in the very person of Jesus Christ. But it's only if you have a relationship with him. And as sweet and as cute as the baby is, if that's the only Jesus that you have a relationship with, is baby Jesus, you miss out on who he really was. Because he was more than a child. He was the Savior who was sent to forgive you of your sins, to buy you back so that you could have a relationship with God. This morning, if you don't have that, I pray that you would find that during this Christmas. If you would come and talk to me or Max or somebody and say, hey, listen, how do I have that relationship with God? I need that in my life. I know the child Jesus, I know the baby Jesus, but I never have understood the fact that he did all that for me. My prayer this morning is that you would have that and you could celebrate this Christmas differently, knowing that he was more than a child, that he was the king who loved you enough to create a way for you to have a relationship with God. In just a moment, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. But before we do, I pray that during this invitation, you could just take some time and thank him for who he is. Thank him for the fact that he is all these things, and that when he came, he was more than just a child, but he was all those different things so that you could have this amazing relationship with God. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for the fact that you came as more than just a child. Father, you came to show us the character, the nature of God. You came to be God with us. Jesus, you came to save us from our sins. You came to liberate us, to free us, to fight for us. God, you came as so much more than just a child. Father, this morning I pray that if there is one in this room who doesn't have that relationship with you, God, they've spent Christmas after Christmas after Christmas just simply worshiping a baby. Lord, that this morning would be different. That they would find the hope in you through who your son truly was. God, we love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. It's in that precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.